Today's reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 12, verses 1 to 19. Peter's miraculous escape from prison. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak round you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it, and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet, and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this," he said, and then he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him, and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. Then Herod went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there.
Brilliant. Thank you, Isaac. And so we come to the final of our core values, our great values, but you will be hearing about them for a while yet, I'm absolutely sure. But the final value is expectation. We value expectation because God is always at work and we refuse to limit him. Now, I wonder what your expectations were for the service this morning. For those of you at home, honestly, probably not much different to the last few weeks or maybe even the last few months. But for those of you in the room, maybe your expectations were different. Maybe there was excitement. Maybe there was anticipation about what was going to happen. But actually, what did you expect as you were coming in today? And I wonder if your expectations have yet been met or even exceeded. And what did we each expect as Isaac brought that reading for us today? Did you expect God to speak into your heart? Did you expect, perhaps, to be overcome with emotion as the Spirit was at work? Or did you just expect that somebody would be on screen reading to you? We have to be so careful because we can lose our sense of expectation and we can just go through the motions, can't we? But God is always at work, and therefore we should always be expectant to see him moving. As I read this passage this week, I was full of questions about the expectations of the disciples in particular. when James, the brother of John, was seized and executed, is that what the other disciples then expected would happen to them? Is that what all the early believers expected would happen to them as the church began to be persecuted? And I wonder what that did to their faith. And then as Peter was seized by King Herod as well, what did they each expect at that point? Did they expect that he would also be executed? Let me just say that not all expectations are bad expectations. We can expect good things, great things, but sometimes there are tough things that we expect and anticipate. In verse 5, we're told that Peter was kept in prison, but, I love that word in the middle of that sentence, Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying for him. Their faith may have been shaken by the experience of the execution of James, but it certainly was not lost. And they prayed to God for Peter. Now, we don't have any record of what it was that they prayed. So I wonder what you and I would have prayed in that situation. Earnest prayers for Peter's faith to be strong, for comfort for him in his distress, perhaps, for patient endurance, praying that he would be protected from harm. Or perhaps, could they have been praying for a miraculous and inexplicable release? However they were praying, it's clear from what we read as we go on that that what they'd prayed for was going to be exceeded, that their expectations would be exceeded by what was going to happen, what God was about to do. The story goes on, and Peter is chained between two guards, and there are further squads of guards between him and the door to the prison, and ultimately to freedom. And then suddenly an angel of the Lord appears, and light fills the cell. The angel, it says, struck Peter to get his attention and said, "Get up." And as Peter responded obediently, the chains fell off his wrists. As he responded in obedience to what God had called him to do through the angel, the chains fell off his wrists. And the angel said, "Follow me." The same words that Jesus had said to him those few years earlier as he was calling him. Peter obediently put on his clothes as instructed by the angel, put on his sandals, and followed the angel out of the prison. I love how straightforward that is. He just followed the angel out of the prison. And however faithfully the church was praying, the last thing that Peter expected that evening was to be woken by an angel. And an angel that would lead him out of the prison at that. But Peter obediently did what the angel said. And that scripture goes on and says that Peter thought that he was dreaming. He didn't believe that any of this was happening. He just couldn't believe it. Prison chains don't just fall off. You don't just get to walk out from between the guards who are either side of you or the guards that are guarding the doors. I have no idea how an angel of the Lord, who's the glory of the Lord shining in the room, how they crept past two squads of guards. But it says they just seemed to wander past them. Now those guards would not have been asleep, because that would have been punishable by death. But then Peter and the angel come to the main gate between the prison and the city, possibly one of the most fortified parts of the prison. And verse 10 simply says that the gate opened by itself for them, and they were able to walk through. After walking down the first street, the angel left, and Peter suddenly realized what had happened. Suddenly realized that this was real, and he said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent this angel and rescued me." There is no doubt in Peter's mind, because there is simply no other explanation. Only God could have done such a thing. And note at the end of Peter's comment that we get a glimpse of what he'd actually been expecting. If you read on in verse 11, he says, "He has rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." Peter's expectation was a gruesome execution, like James. But I think the best bit is still to come in this passage as Peter returns to the disciples. He goes to where he expects the church will still be gathered and where they indeed are still praying. And he knocks on the door and one of the servants comes and answers the door. Rhoda answers the door and she's so thrilled to see Peter that she runs back inside to tell everyone else without opening the door and greeting Peter. I love the fact that she's so excited. The response of the disciples gives away their lack of faith or expectation. "You're out of your mind. It can't possibly be Peter at the door." I think that gives us a glimpse into what they were praying for. They were praying for his faith and his protection in prison. They were not praying for his release, because otherwise they'd have believed it when he was arriving. But Peter kept knocking at the door. Rhoda's gone off and she's telling the disciples and they're having arguments between themselves. And Peter's still knocking. He's still knocking. God had far exceeded their expectations. Peter hadn't even told them about his adventure yet. He's just simply standing there saying who he is. Imagine how astonished they would be when he told them. So Peter shares his story with them and he instructs them to tell others. And then he leaves and he goes somewhere else. And we don't hear much more from Peter in the book of Acts. And then we get to the end of this story. And we hear about the expectation of the soldiers who were guarding him. Now, no doubt they were shocked and surprised to discover that Peter was missing. And we've no idea how they would have tried to explain that to Herod and to everybody between them and Herod. But Herod, the soldiers and all the Jews expected Peter to be executed. And instead, actually it says at the end of this passage that it was the soldiers who were guarding Peter who were executed instead. Now, there are two things that I want us to note particularly today. That it was as the church were praying, however meagerly they were praying, it was as the church were praying that God did something amazing. Something which far exceeded their expectations. He answered their prayers and then some. As the church was praying. And then the second thing is that Peter shared his story. He shared his testimony with the disciples that he met, with all the other believers that were gathered. And not just that, he told them to go and tell that story to others as well. Share that with our brothers and our sisters, he said. He told them the story of his miraculous rescue because he knew that it could only have been God at work. He told them to share that story because sharing stories like that increase our faith and increase our expectation. So I want to ask you what your expectations are as you join us each week for our services, whether you're intending to be here next week, whether you're going to be online, whether you're going to catch up after the event. What are your expectations as you gather in whatever way you gather for our services? Are you expecting to take some notes that perhaps are critical of the preacher's use of tone and metaphor? Or are you expectant to hear God speak to you and challenge you directly? Do you expect as we gather that God will minister to you by his Spirit, even though you may be engaging virtually, that God is close, that God is there in spirit, that he may minister to you? What are your expectations as lockdown eases and as we can regather for services and for activities and for meetings? Are you expecting to return to things more or less as they were? To be coming back to the comfortable and the familiar? Or are you expecting God to set us on a new course for this new season and to take some risks with him and for him? What are your expectations as we embark on the base project? Are you honestly expecting it to fall at the final hurdle once again? Or are you expecting to see a vibrant and flexible and well-used community space that enables us to reach and serve and connect with our community? What are your expectations as we start together to live out our great values of generosity, of risk-taking, of authenticity and participation and expectation? How are you expecting God to change us? How are you expecting these values, as we are changed and live them out, how are you expecting them to impact our community? Are you expecting business as usual, or are you expecting transformation for you, for the church, and for the community? And what are your expectations for next Sunday, for Pentecost Sunday, when we say, "Come, Holy Spirit"? What do you expect? How do you expect the Spirit to move? When we say, "Come, Holy Spirit, come and do what only you can do," as in this example with Peter, what might we see? What might we experience? How might we be changed? God is in the habit of exceeding our expectations. God is not a God of the possible, but a God of the impossible. He's not a God of just enough or good enough. He's a God of abundance. He's not a God of that'll do. He's a God of abundant blessing. He's a God not of the expected, but of the unexpected. God is in the habit of exceeding our expectations, parting the sea and saving his people, setting people free from demons, healing the sick, allowing the lame to dance, giving sight to the blind, raising the dead to life on a number of occasions. A God who sacrificed his son in our place and then raised him to life again. And then Jesus ascending to heaven back to be at the right hand of the Father. A God who used 12 very questionable disciples to share the message of hope around the world. And it's still going today. A couple of weeks ago, Jonathan shared a quote by William Carey, the founder of the Baptist Missionary Society, which brilliantly connects last week's message on participation and this week's message on expectation. "Expect great things from God" is the first part of that quote. "Attempt great things for God." Let's be an expectant people, praying big prayers with great faith. Expectant not only to see God at work, but to be amazed by him, by what he's doing, and to obediently accept his invitation to join him in doing it. May we be a people who share those stories together, who build faith, and who raise expectations even higher. May we be people who share those stories with our friends and our families, those who aren't believers, and may they come to know Jesus and find their own faith in him. May others come to hear and believe because of the stories that we get to tell about what God is doing in us and through us and around us. I'm going to ask the worship team to come and join me as we pray. Let's pray together. There's a story in Acts chapter 3 of a lame beggar, a guy who has begged all of his life. He's never been able to work, And he's just outside the temple and he's asking people for money. Money in order to live, not money to just be frivolous, but he's not being greedy. And Peter comes up and he is asked to give some money and he says to the beggar, he says, "I don't have any money, but I have something even better for you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." And the man does. And I just love the way he asks for the thing that he thinks that he needs. And God gives him the thing that he didn't even know to ask for. And so as we pray, not just this morning, but as we pray alone, with our families, with our friends, may we keep that in mind. Father God, we thank you that you exceed our expectations. Lord, help us to pray big prayers. Help us to ask big things of you in faith. And Lord, help us to seek out where you're at work, seek out what you're doing, and then seek to join you in it. Lord God, I pray for all the things that we ourselves as individuals and we as a fellowship are praying about and asking for. Lord, I pray that you would help us to double up on those prayers, to think bigger. And then, Lord, to be expectant that you will answer those prayers. Lord, would you come and say to us, "Yes, I know what you're asking for. I know what you think you need, but I have something better for you." So whatever we are asking for, dreaming for ourselves or for someone else, perhaps God is ready to say, "I have something better for you." Whatever we are asking for or dreaming for us as a church and for our community, I hope and pray that God is ready to stand and say, "I have something so much better for you." Father God, come and increase our faith, I pray. Increase our expectation. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. Amen.